First John. I woke up, man, in the middle of the night thinking about this. And folks, I'm going to preach a little bit about generational things this morning. Now, you came to church this morning. When you walked in here, you brought something with you. You hear what I said? You brought something with you. Some of y'all didn't bring anything good with you. You brought a bad spirit. I could feel it when I was up here. There's something, and we all carry spirits with us. And we all have spirits around us. And take your Bible, look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. And I was thinking about this. Man, I woke up thinking about it, Thinking about my own family. Amen. My father's family. My father had a spirit about him. And our family had a spirit about them. And there's generational things that happen in people's lives that you carry with you. And unclean spirits is like a serpent that wraps around you. Or it could say, you could say it's like a leech that hangs on to you. There's like a leech that hangs on to you. Unclean spirit. Or you got the spirit of man. We've talked just about this before. You got the spirit of man. Everybody in this room, you got a spirit in you. The Bible says in Genesis, God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And then the Bible says in Genesis 6, God's spirit would not always strive with man while God was fed up with him, because the spirit. And a spirit. And everybody in this room, you got some. If we had some kind of spiritual magnifying glass this morning, or some kind of light to put on there, I wonder how many things be hanging on you. How many leeches of unclean spirits, or how many snakes be hanging around you? So while we sing, when we come to church, it's supposed to be a time of worship. We come in here, we try to get this unclean spirit out of here. We try to get God's spirit moving in here. Amen. What happens is you come to church and you'll bring whatever spirit that's been around you, you bring it with you. And if we had some kind of light we could put on you, you would probably see all kinds. It would scare you half to death. Amen. To see what's hanging on you, what's around you. Amen. And I'm telling you what, if you had a little baby, and I've heard about this happening. I had a little baby, he walked in the room, and that baby was in the crib, and there was a snake wrapped around it. You would scream and try to stop that snake or kill that snake. Amen. I heard a missionary tell about this. He said down in South America where he was a missionary, he said, man, people worship snakes there. And he said he was in a village and he heard some children screaming, and there was a python wrapped around this child. And it was choking the life out of him. And then he said he ran after him and ran up there to the snake and grabbed an axe and going to stick it in the snake's head. And the men of the village stopped him and held him down while the family got closer to the snake and worshiped the snake. And thanked the snake god for sacrificing their child. And they let that snake lay there while it devoured that child, devoured that child. And that snake laid there for days and couldn't crawl off because that baby was in that snake's belly. And I'm going to tell you something. If you knew what was around you today, if you knew what was hanging on you, it would scare you half to death. Amen. If God opened your eyes this morning, you could see what was around you. It would scare you half to death. It would scare you straight. Amen. It would scare you straight. The Bible talks about a spirit world. And there's unclean spirits around us. So that's why you say, why do we come to church and sing? Because we're trying to run them out of here. They won't hang around. But when you walk out the doors or after singing and praising God and worshiping, that's why worshiping is so important. And after you quit worshiping, and there'll be people sitting in here, and there'll be people around you worshiping that, and the unclean spirits have to leave for a little bit. And then right after that, they'll come right back and warn you. And you'll sit there and you won't get nothing from the Word of God. You won't get nothing from the preaching. You'll be just sitting there and you'll say, I don't feel nothing. You know why? Because you're tight and wrapped up, man. Amen. Things are sucking the life out of you. You got unclean spirit on you. Amen. And boy, I tell you what, the Bible talks about a haughty spirit. It talks about a seducing spirit. And Mom, I tell you what, mamas and daddies, if you knew what was around your kids, you would scare you half to death. You would be fasting and praying for your family. Amen. If you knew. Why? They always say, you know, you carry on the generational things. You carry on things from generation of past. You ever notice why some family, they say, well, he's a drunk, and his father was a drunk, and his grandfather was a drunk, and his great-grandfather, they ain't gonna never change. Or there was a whoremonger, and his grandfather was a whoremonger, and all that, they ain't gonna never change. Mama was a wicked, mean woman, and she ain't gonna never change. That little girl's not gonna have a chance in this life. Why? Because the spirit. There's a spirit hanging on. And you might have a spirit around you. I walked in people's houses, I could feel it. I could feel unclean spirit around them. I've been around people and feel it. That's just an unclean spirit. You know how the Bible says this? Look at 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to preach a couple weeks on this. Amen. Because it's so important. I'm going to tell you something. It will scare you straight. Yeah. They want to do right. At least I hope it does. Man, I woke up this morning thinking about this, going, oh, God. Oh, God. Some of y'all, man, you carry on this spirit with you, and you pass it down to your kids. Amen. You pass it right down to your children. And you don't see the real need about getting things right. You say, I'm doing pretty good. I make a little bit of money. I got a nice house. I'm doing this. You don't see the need. There's a spirit in this age. You say, what in the world's going on, preacher? Look at the news. What's going on around the world and all that stuff? Man, what is the spirit of this age? It's a spirit. It's a spirit that comes on each and every individual. You know why you come to church? Some of y'all come in church and you didn't come here to worship. You got a spirit on you, and you care less about it. You care less about worshiping God. You care less about singing praises to God. You care less about being filled with the Spirit of God. Care less about it. Because you got a spirit on you. You got a spirit around you. And that spirit is choking the life out of you. And it's unclean spirit. And we're going to look at it. Look at this. Bible says this. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Try the spirits. Whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know we the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh is not of God. And that is the spirit of what? Antichrist. My brother just told me a little bit ago, he said they had some kind of thing going on with kids. Where you at, brother? Where, Mike, stand up and tell them what was going on.
Transvestite
now.
For a storytelling hour, dressed as Dracula.
Teaching the kids.
And outside there was protest and counter-protest. There was protests against it, and there was like street preachers preaching against it, and then there was counter-protest saying like, let them go if they're doing a good thing. And the most disturbing thing was on the inside, all the mothers and the kids and the dads that were listening to this transvestite. And they were saying, oh, it's good. You know, we're welcoming him, and we're loving him and accepting him.
And what was he dressed like?
He was dressed as like Dracula. And apparently this
sucking the blood out.
He's like a drag queen or something. And his stage name is Antichrist.
Antichrist.
Annie.
Now look at this. Look back down to chapter 4, verse 3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of what? Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. Even now already is in the world. This is in John's day. He says, you are of God, little children. Have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Amen. They are of the world. Therefore they of the world, and the world heareth them. That's why they're saying they're of the world. The world hears them. Yeah. Christians shouldn't be listening to them.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Christians shouldn't be listening to unclean spirits.
Amen.
It says this, and where we are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that knoweth God heareth us. Talking about Paul and John and Peter and all them, the word of God. He said, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might through him, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So he's saying the spirit of Antichrist, and we have the spirit of Antichrist now in the world. And what happens is when you go out in the world, you know, in the Old Testament, the priest and the people, when they came to the temple, they had to go through a cleansing period in their life to get clean, to be able to go into the temple. If they didn't, God would kill them. And the devil knows that. And here we are as God's children now. He's inside of us. The Holy Ghost of God is inside of us. I mean, the Bible tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own, but you're bought with a price. Now, we're going to look at some scripture. Now, look at this. Look with me to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's a spirit in people's lives, and they pass it down to their children. Amen. They'll pass it down to their kids. And the kids pick up on it. And the kids end up having it. And usually the kids get more possessed of it. That's why the generation of kids today is in a mess. My generation was in a mess. Generation before them was in a mess, but it's gotten worse and worse and worse. Everybody sits around talking about, oh man, it's bad. It's bad. They're killing babies. I mean, the baby can, they can push the baby back up in the womb and then kill it right there. As a spirit. Amen. A spirit of death. A spirit of killing. A spirit of Antichrist. Now look at the Bible. We're going to look at some scripture. Proverbs chapter, what did I say, 16? Look at Proverbs 16. Look at verse 2. Proverbs 16, verse 2. There's so much on this. It says, the preparation of the heart of man, verse 1. The preparation of the heart of man in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the what? Spirits. Everybody thinks they're right in their own eyes. But see, well, how you know if you're not right, you judge it through the Word of God. How you judge things in your life. You know what? I prayed. My family grew up. My sister's sitting here. She can testify. The way we grew up, and I prayed, God, I don't want my kids to end up like me, like I was. My father was a hard man. He was a mean man at times. And he was just a womanizer at times. I don't want to be that. I didn't want to be like that. And but see, I had to make it. If I didn't get saved, I'd still be like that. And if I didn't get saved and want God to change me, I said that little boy, 12 years old, there was a critical point. I think there's a critical point in a young person's life. They can't blame their mom and dad no more for their sin, Amen. For their problems.
You're right. Yep.
They can make a choice. They come to a place in their life, they can make a choice. I'm not going to be like that.
Amen.
I'm going to do what's right. I made a choice against my family. Jesus said, if you love your father, mother, sister, brother, and all that more than me, he said, you're not worthy of me. I made a choice. I'm not going to be like them. I'm going to be like he wants me to be, and I want that Spirit of God rule my life.
Amen.
I made that choice. And what happens is fathers and mothers pass the Spirit down to their kids, and it's a spirit of, look at verse Proverbs 16, look at verse 16, 18. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit is an arrogant spirit, defiant spirit, defiance against God.
Amen.
It says, pride goeth before destruction. Pride. God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble.
Amen.
We were proud, family. Still got that pride in us. I mean, there's a spirit of this age. There's a spirit in generations. There's a spirit in families. And when God's Holy Spirit, God came inside you, it wants to control you, but your spirit fights against it. Your spirit will go against God's Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible tells you, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which is God's. Glorify God in your body and your spirit. the spirit of man. I got a spirit in me, the spirit of man. I've got to yield that spirit if I want God to hear me and bless me. I've got to yield my spirit to him, to the Holy Spirit. Look on down. Look at Proverbs. Look at, I actually go to Ephesians chapter 2, where there's a whole bunch. There's so much. Ephesians 2. This is a study. I studied Clarence Larkin's book on the spirit world. Like I said, if we could see what's going on in our midst right now, if God took the scales off our eyes and we seen what was going on around us, it would scare you straight to God. Amen. There's people sitting in here right now. You got things hanging on you. You got unclean spirits hanging on you. Amen. You got a spirit of anger. You got a spirit of lust. You got a spirit of haughtiness and seducing. You got those spirits hanging on you. Yeah. Now, that's why the Bible tells you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, those spirits can't hang on you. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, they'll try to get back, they'll try to get suction in your life and try to get a hold of you. And the Holy Ghost won't allow it because you let him control your life. I'm telling you, man, it'll scare you straight if you've seen what was around you, the spirit world. And how the devil, I've said this a million times here, the devil can't get your soul if you're saved, but he can get your life, your family, your children. You can pass down stuff to your children. I pray God, don't let my children have what was in me before. Help them to have I always pray that God, put the fear of God in them. Give them a tender heart. Why? Because you can watch, look at the little kids come to this church. Look at the spirit on them. Look at the spirit on them. You know what the answer is? Them getting saved, growing in the Word of God, getting closer to God. The answer, that's what the answer is. It's them getting a hold of God and God getting a hold of them. The answer for you and I as family, the problem, like brother, we talk about youth groups. The problem with most youth groups is not the kids. It's usually the families. Because they get saved, get on fire, and they go back. And the families put the water on the fire. Look what the Bible says in Jude. Where did I tell you to go first? Ephesians 2. Go to Ephesians 2. I'm telling you, man, this thing will scare you straight. If you'll dig into the thing, you realize, man, there's a spirit on you. There's a sensual spirit. There's a sexual spirit. There's a lustful spirit. There's a haughty spirit. There's a prideful spirit. There's spirits that's always trying to latch onto you and on your kids. I wake up in the middle of the night praying for my family, praying for my children. You think about Job. The Bible says Job prayed for his family and had sacrifice for his children just in case. If you get a hold of this, I'm going to tell you, it changed your life. If you'll get a hold of this, moms and dads, you're passing something down to your kids. It's a spirit of rebellion or a spirit of God. You can pass it down to your family. Whatever's in you is going to be passed down. And we'll look at that in a minute. Look in Ephesians 2. It says, you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. There's a course that this world's on. It's a spirit unclean. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See that thing? There's a spirit on children of disobedience. You said, well, I've seen families raise their kids up to respect them, but not respect anybody else. There's a disobedient spirit in a kid. We've got all the kids grow up. They have it. You don't have to train a child. When a child's born, that little baby that Kaylee and Andrew have, they got to train that child right. But on training them, they better live what they say they're trying to do with that child. If not, they're going to pass a spirit down that kid. Yep. Just like Josh and Kylie just had a baby. And man, what you do, you say, God, intervene now. God, intervene for my child. God, intervene for my children. Don't let them be like me. Don't let them have what I had and the way I was. Why? Because they'll take it a lot further than you ever went.
You're right, sir. Amen.
They'll take it a lot further. and they'll mess up their lives. I felt it this morning when it came up here. I knew what I was going to preach on, and I knew there was a battle going to happen. There's a spirit world. We're in it. We're fighting against it. And that's why the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. What happens is most Christians say, oh, yeah, I don't care about that. Go to Psalm 51. Look at Psalm 51. If you went into a child's room and God took the veil off your eyes and you could see what was hanging around your children, it would scare you straight. You pick up spirits through this.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Spirits come through this. See that? You know what that is? That's an iPhone. You know what they have as a symbol? Apple. Goes right back to the garden. They try to say that's where it came from. Garden of Eden. Sin. Goes right back. There's nothing new under the sun. There's a spirit come through the radio. There's a spirit come through TV, through movies. And the prince of the power of the air knows what he's doing when it comes to try to entice you. If he can get Christians so messed up, we ain't going to change nothing. It ain't going to change the world. That's why the spirit of this age has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. You say, man, it's just hard to do right. It seems like it's so hard to live right because everywhere you go, there's all kinds of, there's oppression coming at you. There's a spirit world going on. You pick it up and you pass it down. You'll pass it down. Look with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, look at this. David's talking about spirit. Folks, I'm telling you, this spirit thing is scary. Job talked about his hair of his head stood up because a spirit passed by. Now, there's God's spirit, which is holy. There's the devil's spirit, which is unclean. And then there's man's spirit. And man's spirit will pick up whatever he's looking for. Yep. If you're looking for God, you start seeking God's spirit. If you're looking for the devil, or you're just looking for yourself, you think, I'm just going to live myself. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the devil. Well, you're picking up the devil's spirit. You're picking up that spirit, the spirit of this age. Psalm 51, David said this in verse 10. He said, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, a right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now, God's spirit brings joy. The Holy Ghost of God brings joy in your life. Now, Job talked about, he said, thou turnest thy spirit against God. Job said, you can turn your spirit against God. There's a lot of people that's turned against God. They turn their spirit. They refuse to accept God's righteousness. They refuse to accept God's word. They refuse to accept anything that's good. They refuse it. They turn their spirit against God. You got a spirit inside you. And that spirit, if you don't allow God's spirit to control you, your spirit takes over. And you'll have things hanging on you. You'll have a spirit of anger. You ever seen people always mad? That's why the prisons are full of them. Prisons are full of people just angry. I've been done wrong. Man, a spirit of sexual sensations. It's all over the internet, everywhere you look. Man, there's a spirit that controls man. Look at it, take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 9. Look in Luke 9, talking about an unclean spirit. Somebody has to open themselves up. You got to open your spirit up or your body up to receive unclean spirit. And like I said, if a mama was in here, if a mama had any sense and she walked in the room and saw that unclean spirit around the kids, you know what? I said you can pick up spirits through this TV. You ever seen kids always putting the headphones in? They're getting spirit. You go down to the liquor store, they call it wine and spirits. You pick up something. Wine and spirit. You'll pick up a spirit. It won't be God's spirit. And I've watched, man, I've been around 62 years now, and I've watched people that live the way they want to live and turn God away, 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 and I've seen the way they end up. I've been around long enough to see it. I've seen it. If you got open your eyes and you could see what's in the spirit world, my Lord, it would scare you to straight. It would scare you to God. And it ought to. Look in Luke 9. Luke 9, look at verse 51. It says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go up to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go up to Jerusalem. And when the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? They got self-righteous. They said, Lord, why don't we call fire down and consume them all? Just kill them all. You know, if that was the case, we'd be dead now. If that was the case, that God didn't show his love, we'd all be dead. We'd all be in hell with our back broken, eyes scratched out. If that was the case. God said in Genesis, my spirit will not always strive with man. It's going to come a time where God's going to say, that's enough is enough. God, it'll come to a time in your life, God said, that enough is enough. Amen. Enough is enough. Here we are, here I am, saved, bought, stand up, son. Here he is, he's bought with a price, and the Bible says, glorify your God in your spirit and your body. And what does he say? Well, I'm not going to live for God. I'm not going to do what's right. I'm not going to live for him. I'm just going to do my own thing. God will put up with so long. Look at verse 55. And he turned, look at Jesus said. Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. Amen. He told them disciples, they said, we'll call fire down and kill them all. That's what an unclean spirit wants you to do. Jesus said, I come to give you life. Amen. Unclean spirit wants to kill everybody. Kill them all. And look what the Lord said, I've come to give him life. Look at verse 56. For the Son of Man has come to not destroy lives, but to save them. And they went into another village. Look in 2 Corinthians 7:1. This is throughout the Word of God. And like I said, you do a study on the spirit world. And if you could see it, if you could see what's going on. Man, I woke up, like I said, I'm thinking about this thing. I say, oh, God. I mean, Lord God, it's so urgent that Christians get their hearts right. Amen. Yeah. Get the leeches off of you. Yes. And snakes hanging around you. The unclean spirit. You think about this. When Noah got off the ark, everybody knew who God was. There was only eight. And the Asians with Shem, they went east. They rejected God's spirit. Somebody dropped the ball. Somebody didn't tell their kids about God, Jehovah God. They didn't tell them. Ham went south. Somebody didn't tell their children about God, the Holy God. They started worshiping idols. They started, you know, we got American Idol. Everybody's wanting this, American Dream. Man, they started worshiping. And now they're pushing their kids to make money for them. They think, I don't care what it costs. I want my kid to make me a millionaire. I don't care what it costs. Sell it out. Man, then you got Europe. You got Jatham. He goes, and he's killing each other. Every nation's killing each other, devouring one another. They're worshiping idols. And then the gospel comes along. And the gospel, like Doc taught us in Bible school, is like the sun coming up every day. The Word of God went east to west. There's African nations that's hearing the Word of God getting saved. I mean, where was it? Nigeria? Which nation? Oh, it was Brother Johannes was here. And he said that Zambia, now declared to be a Christian nation. You know what America is? A heathen nation. It goes around the world. The Spirit of God. What happens? Men's got this haughty spirit, arrogancy. I don't need God. Who does God think he is? I'll tell God where to go. I'll give him the finger. That's why I said. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Having therefore these promises, talking to Christians now. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the what?
Spirit.
So you can have a filthy spirit. Filthy. Go back to drunkenness, drinking. You go back to the same hog pen God got you out of. The spirit that's hanging on you like leeches. Like I said, if I took the, I had some kind of light this morning, some kind of spiritual light, and I could look around this room, you could tell who's got what.
Amen,
the unclean spirits hanging on you. And they tell you what to do.
Right.
You're saved. See, what the devil knows, if he can just keep them unclean spirits, listen, you keep listening to him, he knows he can bring your destruction swiftly. You'll never open your mouth for Jesus Christ. You'll never fulfill the commission that God's given for each person in this life, saved, is to win others. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. You'll never fulfill it. Why? Because you listen to unclean spirits. And you hang around where they are. See, that's another thing. You hang around unclean spirits where they are. Before long, it'll devour you. It devours you. Look at this. It says, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know what? You say, well, preacher, what should we pray? I'd pray, God, put the fear of God in me. Give me a tender heart towards you and help me always cry out to you. When I first got saved, I still do it. When I first got saved, I had so much wickedness in my life. I would drive down the road and go, God, help me. God, help me. I'd cry out to God, Lord, help me. My mind is messed up. My heart's messed up. My life is messed up. I need you.
Amen.
Help me, Lord. I don't want to go back.
Amen. That's good.
But what happens is people get saved and they go right back. That's why we see people get messed up. They come to church, get saved. We don't see them. Wow. You say, are you mad at them? No. I realize there's a devil and unclean spirits they're listening to. They haven't grown. They haven't understood. And they get devoured. It's all our jobs to try to encourage them.
Amen.
It's all our jobs to try to help them.
Amen.
It's not just the preacher's job.
Amen.
The Bible talks about Israel. They had a spirit of slumber. You know what a spirit of slumber is? Just like, oh, I've done my part.
Yeah.
I've worked long enough.
That's right.
Spirit of slumber. That's what God says, all right, y'all just go to sleep then. You lose your nation, you lose it all. You'll pass it down to your children. If you don't take God serious and you don't take serving him serious, guess what? Your kids are going to be the same way. They'll be worse. They'll be worse. Your kids will be just as... Look in Jude, verse 16. Look in Jude, just before Revelation. It ain't Hey Jude. The Beatles brought the spirit to this country. What bothers me, I mean, you say, I pray for people because I can see them slipping down that slippery slope.
Amen.
And listen to unclean spirits. You got a spirit of anger. You got a spirit of jealousy. You got a spirit of envy. You got a spirit of bitterness. You got a spirit. And what happens is those spirits start latching onto you. And then before long, you'll just be overtaken by it. You can't even see it. You lose the love of God in your heart. You say, I'm saved. Yeah, you're saved, but you ain't right. You don't have the love of God in you. You got these unclean spirits like leeches hanging on you, whispering in your ear, and you listen to everything they tell you. Oh, they're talking about you down there. Nobody really loves you. Nobody. I mean, the unclean spirits are good at what they do. They're good at it to mess up your life. Look at Jude, verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust.
That's right.
Their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. What that's saying is you put men high, way higher than God. You admire men and people more than you honor God and admire God. You have more of a fear of a man. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. You have more of a fear of a man. You know what? You fear what think people might talk about you. You fear what people might think about you. I'd rather for them talk about me if they're trying to do right. I said, I'd like to see, I've told many men this by themselves, just men with me. And I said, it'd be a blessing to know there's some men around that still have some character and still will help a lady or a young lady not try to take advantage of her. The spirit of lust and the spirit of a sensation of sexual things is so prevalent in this community, in our country, and around the world, that, man, it'd be a blessing to have a man that not think about how he's going to get into some woman's clothes.
Yeah.
Just try to help her sister, not trying to get over on her.
Yeah. Well,
right.
Every man's got to fight that all men are dogs. Every man's got to fight against that thing. Look at this. It says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Now, go with me to Judges, or Exodus. Go back to Exodus chapter 20. This is going to take me another week. Exodus chapter 20. The Lord laid this thing out all the way through Genesis and everything, but when you get in the New Testament, it's more evident. It says, here's the Ten Commandments. When I told you, I've had people on the airplane, and I sit next to, I try to talk to everybody I sit next to. And I had a lady on the airplane. She says, I said, are you safe? She said, oh, yes, I believe in keeping the Ten Commandments. And I said, I believe in the Ten Commandments. I said, but I know they can't get me to heaven. She says, oh, yeah, I know, but I still believe in the Ten Commandments. I said, well, you believe in the Ten Commandments going to get you to heaven? She said, well, that's part of it. And I said, really? I said, you really believe that? She said, I really believe that. And I said, well, can you tell me where they're at in the Bible? Can you tell me where the Ten Commandments are in the Bible? She looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. She went, what? I said, can you tell me where they're at in the Bible? In the Bible? Yeah, in the Bible. If you believe that's going to get you to heaven, and you think keeping the Ten Commandments is going to get you to heaven, don't you know you ought to know where they're at? She said, well, I can't, you caught me off guard. I said, well, just quote one to me. Just give me one. She couldn't even give me one. That I was going, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. She kept looking at my lips. Thou shalt not. Let's look at this. I want to show you this thing, this generational curse can come on your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Your children's children. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You say, oh, this is talking about Israel. No, it's talking about everybody. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make on thee, thou shalt not make on thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. No, don't make images of angels.
Amen.
Or planets or stars. He says, or that is in the earth beneath are people, dogs, cats, horses, whatever, snakes, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. Or that is in the water beneath, under the earth, whales, sharks. Look, the Bible says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. God says, I'll visit you and I'll allow your kids, because you turn your back, your kids will suffer for it.
That's right.
Because of you. And I've dealt with so many families that I look back and I think, I look back and I see their family, I see the generational curse in their family. We had a generational curse on the Ryman family. But guess what? When God saved me, the Lord broke it. When I surrendered. And it's a day-by-day surrendering, folks. The curse can come back if I go away from God. If I turn my back on God right now, it'll hurt this church, it'll hurt my family, hurt my wife, it'll hurt my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, it'll hurt everybody. And same with you. How many things you got hanging on you? I don't want nothing hanging on me. So what do? You get cleansed every day. God, clean me. Fill me with your spirit. God, help the Holy God, Ghost of God. Clean me. Clean me. It says, cleanse yourself of all filthiness of the spirit. Man, take your Bible, look in Ephesians 6. Look at Ephesians 6. The responsibility now is on my son Josh for my grandson. The responsibility is on my daughters and my son-in-law and on my daughter-in-law to raise that grandson to fear God,
Amen.
To love God. The responsibility is on all my children to raise their children for God. But I'm going to try to do my part as a grandparent to get in there and help them.
Amen.
And encourage them to live for God and be faithful to God. Be faithful to the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm going to do my part. What happens is we get lazy. We get lazy and say, well, I'm tired. Oh, you think we ain't? Well, I'm just wore out. Oh, yeah. This is not our resting place, folks. This is not our place to rest. Man, we're in a battle. We're in a fight. We're supposed to put on the whole armor of God all the time. But what happens, most Christians say, I'm just going to take a break. I'm just going to take a break. I'm just going to take it easy for a little while. And before long, 5, 10, 15, 20 years go by, and they've taken a break, and they've done messed up everything in their family.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's why kids are going away from church. It's not really the church. Usually it's the family.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the families, the parents encourage them.
Yeah.
Because of the way they live. They get the spirit of drunkenness, lust. They get the spirit of anger, envy, strife, bitterness. That stuff is hanging on. You can get it right.
Amen.
See, when the Holy Ghost, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that's why the Bible says, be ye filled. Because when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it's like Teflon. They can't stick to you. They'll try to put thoughts in your mind. But you start singing and they can't, I can't stand it. Unclean spirits can't stand it when you sing praise to God. You listen to that old country, WDSD, you listen to all that. I'm going to do up. You act like an idiot just like they are.
Amen.
You pick up their spirit.
That's right.
Sensual.
You're right. Amen.
You're a rapper. Same thing. You pick up a wicked spirit. Filthy, vile spirit. You can't look at a woman without lusting after her. The spirit of this age, folks. Hey, I'm preaching myself. I ain't preaching just to anybody. I'm preaching myself. I'm telling you, man, to keep yourself right with God. Look at Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right, verse 1. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment of promise. He said, what if they ain't living for God? You're still supposed to honor them. That don't mean you have to obey everything they tell you to do when it comes to doing wrong. We got kids that their parents won't even let them come to church. They won't let them come. Why? Because they got on fire for God and they start telling the parents, you need to get right with God. And the parents say, I don't want to hear that. You ain't going back to that church. They brainwash you. You're brainwashed. Yeah, like the world ain't going to brainwash them. like they ain't going to get brainwashed by you. He says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Promise that you live long. You want to stay alive? Is that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. If ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That means don't be a hypocrite.
Amen, preacher.
Don't be a hypocrite.
Amen.
People tell me, I used to live for God. I said, then you're a hypocrite.
Amen.
If you're saved, you're a hypocrite. Everybody's hypocritical in some way, but I'm telling you, you ought to try. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's the Lord. The nurture, nurturing. You know what nurturing is? Teaching them, feeding them, loving them. Admonition. Son, God loves you. He wants you to serve him. If you did your part, the Bible promises, when he says, train up a child when he's old, he'll not depart from it. God will bring him back. Well, you got to have some foundation for it to come back to. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. What you do is you're doing it on the Lord. And then it says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord. Whether it be he be bond or free, God's going to reward you. Whether man rewards you or not, God's going to reward you. God keeps accurate books. God's going to give you your props. He'll give them to you. He says, ye masters, do the same thing unto them. In the Word of God, God knew there were slaves even in his day, in Paul's day. There were slaves to Rome. There were slaves everywhere. Ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, in the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? The wiles of the devil, he's going to try to latch on you with unclean spirits. He'll try to throw darts at you, to stick you, to wound you. Wound you with bitterness, wound you with anger, wound you with anything he possibly can. The Bible tells us we're not ignorant of his devices, but most Christians are. Most Christians live like there is no devil, and he's just got them in the hook. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I mean, man, you're in a spiritual wrestling match. And a lot of Christians get pinned. They get pinned and they stay down. They won't get up. They won't fight. They become conscientious objectors. And they're devoured. Just like that little boy devoured by the python. Devoured. That's why we have revival. That's why we have church. That's why we have youth meetings. We're trying to keep the kids from getting devoured. We're trying to keep people from getting devoured. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I love y'all. I don't care who you are. I love you. I don't want the devil to devour you.
Amen.
I don't want you to listen to unclean spirits and tells you that nobody... I've preached too many funerals of guys killing themselves. Too many.
Amen.
Why? They listen to a spirit.
Amen.
That spirit said, go ahead. My father-in-law killed himself. I'm sick of it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Like I said, if God take the eyes, open your eyes this morning, and if you've seen something hanging on you, just get it off, preacher! Get it off! Get it off!
Amen.
You'd be screaming around here, say, get it off! That's why guys, when they do drugs, they see snakes. They see all kinds of things that they shouldn't be seeing. Why? They're in the spiritual realm that's hanging around them. If you could see what's hanging on you, you'd be screaming, get it off. Get it off. Get away from me. I don't want that around me. If you don't want it around you, draw nigh to God.
Yes.
He'll draw nigh to thee. Unclean spirits couldn't hang around Jesus. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Then he says, Just take it easy, folks. Everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be great. You're going to succeed. Everything's going to be fine. He doesn't say that. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day. Having done all to stand, stand, therefore. Having your loins girded about the truth. You know, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know how many people have we seen coming to this church that didn't have a sound mind? There was a spirit. And what happens is the doctors give them medication, put them on more medication, and give them more. You know what Jesus said? He said, there's an unclean spirit will come on a man, and then it gets cast out, and he goes out and looks for a place to dwell. And then it says he cleans and garnishes the house, and then he brings seven more devils in him, worse than himself. And the spirit of man, you got a spirit of man. If you're a spirit, if you're not yielding to God, you're yielding to unclean. And if a Christian, if you're saved, you say, well, I got God's spirit in me. I'm going to heaven. Yeah, but you ain't going first class. You ain't going first class. You can go first class. Yeah, have you ever got on an airplane and you walk by the people sitting in first class and you go, wow, wish I could afford that. You go back and get back in there and get in the seat. And move your elbow. We flew all the way to Israel like that. No, I got to take it back. There's a little bit more room. But can you let me walk by the first class and go, wow. Wouldn't you want to go home first class? Without a bunch of things hanging on you? I don't have time to cover all this. But look at this. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Say, what's that? I mean, you putting your helmet on. It talks about the helmet. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. You put your helmet on. You put your breastplate on. You put all that on, and you got a shield. And when the darts start coming at you, and then there's offense and defense. God's giving you the ability to have offense and defense. But what do we do? We go, well, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to put all this stuff off. I'll be all right by myself. Yeah, that's right. And you get all sucked up. You don't believe me? Some of y'all look like you don't believe. I'll tell you what. You go to some places where I've been around some people that had unclean spirits on them. I've been around Christians that had unclean spirits on them. I've been around them. I've seen them foaming at the mouth. I've seen them all. They can never get nothing right with God. They can never get anything spiritual in their life when it comes to looking to God saying, God, help me. They can never get it. Why? They just want to hold on to them spirits around them. Let them suck the life out of them. All you got to do is say, Lord God, help me. When Peter, Brother Kenny was preaching the other night, when Peter was on the water, he said, got out of the boat. Out of 12 guys, only he got out of the boat, and he wanted in on it. He seen what Jesus was doing. He wanted to do what Jesus did. Tell you what, most Christians are saved. They don't want in on it. They just want to live their Christian life in defeat, drugs, sensual hatred, hypocrisy, bitterness. And the Holy Ghost of God is grieved all the time in your life. And you have no joy. Look, we'll close with this real quick. Take your Bible, look in, where is it? Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and look at verse 1. Stand fast. Stand fast.
Amen.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ have made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, so on, and he's talking about that little leaven, the whole lump, going down to look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
He says in verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, and that you cannot do the things that you would. When you're walking in, not in the Spirit of God, you're walking in the flesh, you can't do what you want to do. You say, I want to serve God. I want to do what's right, but I just can't. I just can't. It won't let me. Well, you can break it if you want. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I have tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's an inheritance for a child of God. If you're doing that, you ain't going to get no inheritance. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. What do you got hanging on you tonight, today? You know, you can get it off of you today. Or you're going to go right out the door just like you came in.
Amen.
You got that stuff just hanging on you. It's all over you. And you don't see the need of getting right. You won't never see the need as long as there's spirits around you. You won't ever see the need of wanting to serve God. You won't ever see the need. You won't see the need of reading your Bible.
Yeah.
You won't see the need of praying. You won't see the need of praying for your children and grandchildren. You won't see that need. All you care about, like they say, you know, you show these seniors going down the road, says, yeah, I'm spending my grandkids' inheritance. Stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's not just money, folks.
Right.
We got a generation today that's in bad shape.
Amen.
My generation's in bad shape. They got stuff hanging on them. They got spirits hanging on. You got spirits hanging on you? You can get clean today. Cleanse yourself, the Bible says. All filth in the flesh and the spirit. Get it right. You said, well, you know, I'll tell you what the devil does right now. Right? Whispering in your ear. Unclean spirits whispering in your ear right now. I'm telling you what he's saying. I tell you, he's saying, you can't do it. You got things planned. Remember? You like those things. Remember? Don't you like drinking? Don't you like the drugs? Don't you like those things? Don't you like the women? Don't you like the drug? No, running around? The unclean spirits are whispering in your ears, and not now. You can do it later. Not now. You got your whole life ahead of you. They work the same way, like the devil in the garden. You know what? It's up to you whether you're going to listen to them or not. When I got saved, I wanted to change, break the chains. I wanted to live the new life. I wanted to live the abundant life.
Amen, preacher.
I still do. So, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. You've never been through nothing. Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. My brother's in prison. My one brother's dead. All that meant, tell me about it. Father, help us this morning.